You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators forward Philip Forsberg. After a big win for the Preds last night, their second in a row, they take down the Minnesota Wild 2-1. Speaking of that, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. The player guest tonight will be Predators forward Ellie Tolvanen and goaltender Kevin Lankinen as well. So looking forward to that. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. That's coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. You can catch Preds Insiders with myself at 7 o'clock tonight after that as well. So looking forward to that. 2-1 win last night for the Preds, Joe, and it was one of those games where I didn't think they played great. I think they got off to a really good start in the first period. You get a power play goal from Matt Duchene to give yourself a 2-0 lead. Really impressive play by Nino Niederreiter to start things off there. And then I thought Minnesota really had the territorial edge in the second and third periods. Predators did a good job for the most part defensively. Saros, I thought, was good again for the second consecutive game. He has the one goal by Freddie Gaudreau that he probably wants back. I think he got fooled a little bit on that play. But other than that, I mean, Saros was pretty good last night. So two consecutive games where Saros has been good, two consecutive games where they win 2-1, and the beginnings of a winning streak for the Nashville Predators back at home ice.
Yeah, and really, what are you going to do with Freddie Hockey? You just get out of his way.
Especially okay? In that building, man.
He
scores some goals.
You know, not bad. No, I think the key, you can boil it down to for me to like Saros, if he's going to be the level he's been at, right around that level, which is a very high level in the league, then this team has a chance to be a winning team and make the playoffs. And if he's not, then we can talk about all the other stuff, but it is the most important position.
Well,
and it looks better now.
It looks better. And look, the operation defensively looks a little bit better in front of him, but it's also he looking more like himself. And he's looked more like himself the last couple of times out. And John Hines has even used that phrase. He used it again last night. Looks a little bit more like himself. And the Predators, I still think, have some work to do offensively. I will say, you know, they didn't get out there a ton Saturday against the Rangers just with the special teams and the way that game kind of unfolded. Last night, I really liked Niederreiter, Johansson, and Duchene together on a line. I mean, obviously, Niederreiter and Duchene score the two goals, so you've got that. Of course, Duchene was on the power play, but I just thought 5-on-5, they looked good. They were generating chances offensively, and I just thought it was a really good game for that line, and we'll see what that means for them moving forward. But you know, if you got Parson in playing with Forsberg and Granlund, who I didn't think did a whole lot offensively last night, if you can get Johansson going with Niederreiter and Duchene, that's a good sign. I think they like having Niederreiter and Johansson together. It's finding that next person to play with them together on that line. And obviously we didn't expect that to be Duchene, given the success that Forsberg and Granlund and Duchene have had together. But I like that line last night. They played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean the ridiculous pass and finish on the Niederreiter goal, pass from Johansson. Now, I think that's almost like you can't say anything's a lock, right? There could be plenty of lineup changes ahead this season, but I feel like Niederreiter Johansson is something that's like it's becoming a thing where it's like that is going to stick together, and then what else with them? And it's an interesting idea with Duchene with those guys. I think it could work, and maybe you know ripping one on the power play, you know, getting a goal that's not a empty net goal for Duchene, get him going a little bit.
Yeah, and I thought just goal aside, he looked good last night, and that's going to be important for them as they move forward. You brought this up earlier. I mean, it's Ryan McDonough the last couple of games I think has looked pretty good. And, you know, obviously they've made the switch and they've got those three guys, what I consider to be their three best defensemen, all playing on the left right now. And, you know, look, Lozon's had his moments where it hadn't been very good. Carrier's had his moments where it hadn't been very good. Fabro in the same way. I thought everybody played pretty well defensively last night. And McDonough, just some of the small plays that he made last night that are never going to show up in any box score or anything like that. I mean, he had one play. Minnesota was on the power play last night, and they made like this backdoor play behind the net to try to move the puck quick. And, you know, McDonough's trailing the guy. He reads it, cuts behind the net, intercepts the puck, and clears it out of the zone. Like, it's little stuff like that that experience teaches you that you just can't really quantify in numbers that I thought he was really good in small plays like that last night.
Yeah, it's like the bar's really high with him coming in, all that he's done. And then it's rough early. It's not just him, but it's just rough all the way around trying to find the right combinations back there. And it got lower pretty quickly around here. It's like, you know, because you never know. And you still don't know. A guy at that age, having logged the miles he's logged, you know, what is he going to be for this team? But he, a heady, smart, solid, sound defenseman is certainly what he's been for his whole career, and he looks more like that, and they badly need that. And their penalty kill last night was massive.
Oh, the penalty kill was huge last night. And you get the power play goal, so you win the special teams battle last night. And the question is, like, can you start to build now? You've won two in a row. You got a lot of home games still left coming up. We talked about coming off the road trip. You know, you got 8 of your next 9 at home. You've won the first two, and you've got a lot of home games coming up in the next couple of weeks. The one road game you have between now and December the 1st is going on the road to Detroit next Wednesday. Other than that, you're at home every time. So this is a chance, regardless of who you're playing on the schedule, when you're at home, this is a chance to pick up some points. And so far, so good for the Predators. Even though, like I say, the last two games, I don't think they've been great by any stretch of the imagination, but you're getting the job done and you're winning games. And look, right now, even if the offense is struggling a little bit, defend well, get the 2 points, and move on and try to get them again coming up on Thursday if you're the Predators. That should be the mindset.
Don't give the opponent a bunch of freebies.
Yeah.
I mean, don't have these stretches where it's just like just a complete meltdown. I mean, that was happening on that road trip too often. So clean that up and give yourself a chance. Certainly there's a higher level of play for this team, but this is much more competent, and it gives you a chance to win games. And we can, you know, talk about things other than like who should be fired today or tomorrow at the latest.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about Parsonen yesterday, and there was a lot of buzz on him after the first game. Obviously, a lot of buzz on him leading into the game last night, given the way that he played. I didn't think he was great last night. I didn't think he was bad either. I just think not as noticeable as he was in the first game. Really, that line as a whole with he and Forsberg and Granlund, I thought were okay last night. And hopefully, if you're John Hines, like, that has been a criticism of Hines this year that I think is fair. Maybe putting the lines in the blender a little bit too much. Like, hopefully, with the way that they're playing and the wins that they've gotten the last two times out, I'd like to see him just let these lines sit for a minute and see what they've got there. Now, you know, 2-3 games down the road, and you're scoring 2 goals a game. Like, eventually, that's going to have to change. You're going to have to score more than 2 goals to win most nights. But right now, I'd like to see the lines just kind of be left alone and let them breathe a little bit.
Yeah, you'd think you'd run it back for the next game. There's still also the question of Tomasino. You know, he's still in Milwaukee. How's he doing? Still
he's doing
point a game?
Close to it.
Playing center.
Yep.
Other people are leaving Milwaukee, but he's not.
He is not. I will say, though, I mean, Parsonen, we're 2 games in, so we'll see. Jankowski has become, I think, a pretty good player out there. I mean, they've broken up the herd line. They've got Sissons right now playing on that fourth line with Cole Smith and Ellie Tolvanen. And, of course, you know, Sissons is on the power play at the moment. He's on the penalty kill. He's late in the game taking faceoffs. He's doing a lot of things you expect from Colton Sissons. But Jankowski was with Trennan and Janot last night. By the way, Trennan back in the lineup last night after the lower body injury. I thought he was really good last night. I think that was one of his best games of the season last night. I thought he was all over the place, which that was good to see.
And Parsonen's going to be, you know, really interesting. I mean, he's fun to watch, and obviously you have that instant success. So, you know, what's it? Sometimes you see this, though. You see, like, the initial burst, and then you kind of level off a little bit. I feel like he's got the tools to actually really help this team consistently, like, permanently. But, you know,
Well, the thing,
what does he have to do to lock himself in?
It's a great question. Like the thing with Parsonen that I think really separates him is it's the combination of the speed but also the size. Like last night, Forsberg's doing his thing in the offensive zone. He's just kind of wheeling around, waiting for something to open up. Granlund's, you know, a great distributor of the puck. And where did Parsonen go? Right in front of the net. And that guy, I mean, he just planted himself there. And I think it was Dumba on Minnesota, which is, I mean, he's a good defenseman. And he's trying to do everything he can do to get him out of the goal mouth, and he couldn't move him. And that's like the difference when you talk about, you know, Eli Tolvanen sticking in a top six role or Cody Glass. Like, I don't think physically those guys can take that sort of pounding that Parsonen could take. Like, he's a big dude, and he's hard to move, and he moves well. That's athletically, there's just a difference with him out there.
Right. So then if you have the finishing touch, there you go.
Right.
You're a top six forward on this team for sure. John Hines had a good interview with Max Herz that I heard yesterday on the pregame talking about Parsonen. And, you know, one thing Herz said, Max asked him, like, would you have guessed, you know, he would basically played 17 minutes in his first game and not missed a shift? And I was like, well, that was the plan. But the thing Hines brought up was that goal where a lot of guys are not willing to – it was Trouba, right?
Yep.
Are not willing to take that one extra cut in where you're about to get your head taken off. And he did, and he lived to tell about it, and he scored. So if you're going to be that courageous, that earns you a lot more scoring opportunities in this league. It's easier said than done, though.
Take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also get back into the Titans coming up this hour as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. We were scheduled to be joined by Philip Forsberg in the last segment. That did not happen, so we will catch up with Forsberg later.
At a later date.
At a later date. Later date and time. 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, a win streak is great, but hoping your goalie stands on his head while giving up lots of shots is not a recipe for long-term success. It's from a texter on the text line. They do, I would say, moving forward, and I talked to Duchesne a little bit about this last night, like just spending a little bit more time in the offensive zone probably would behoove them moving forward. But the big positive of the last couple of games has been they've defended really well. Like, they gave up a lot of shots in the Rangers game. I think 38 was the total in the Rangers game. And what did they give up last night? 35. You know, I think Minnesota had a few more quality looks last night than the Rangers did. I thought the Rangers, they didn't get a whole lot Saturday night. The Predators did a really good job of keeping it to the outside. So I don't pay as much of attention to the shot total as I do, like, quality of shots given up. Like, if you want to shoot the puck from the blue line all day long with no traffic in front, knock yourself out. You can take as many shots of those if you want to, if I'm the Predators. But it's the quality that you're giving up. I think that's been pretty good the last couple of games. But having said that, you've also scored two goals a game in the last two games, and you need a little bit more punch in the offensive zone.
Right. You want to play less defense for sure. No doubt about it. But you're not giving up in the D zone. You're not making these mistakes where you're giving them freebies. So that's the first step. Yeah. Get the forecheck going more. Play less defense. Score more. That's all ahead of them. Maybe.
Bryant from Memphis on the text line says, Jankowski needs to stay up. Really want Cody Glass instead of Cole Smith. But otherwise, this lineup is basically ideal with what we've got. I just hate that Glass is riding the press box and Tomasino is down in Milwaukee. I don't know. That fourth line is weird. This from Bryant from Memphis on the text line. I do wonder, and we talked to Hal Gill about this yesterday. Like, if you're Cody Glass right now, you had a really good training camp. I think you've done everything the coaches have asked you to do from that standpoint. You get into a top six role, and it doesn't go overly well for you here with the Predators when they're trying to figure that out. And you've basically just been kind of fighting to get back into the lineup ever since. He got back in there against Colorado. You know, the game didn't go well against Colorado. He did have an assist in that game and a pretty tic-tac-toe with, I think it was McDonough and Tolvanen on that play. And then he's back out of the lineup Saturday, back out of the lineup last night. Like, in terms of just where he's at right now mentally, it's got to be a kind of a tough spot to be in if you're Cody Glass.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, look, it's – I mean, ultimately, if you're John Hines, you have to put together your best lineup that you think can win a particular game. But I do wonder about the jerking back and forth with someone like Glass, you know, when you're still talking about a very young player, gone through a lot, huge expectations, injuries, and we all saw the emotion when he made the team. Like, that's part of this job too that Hines is juggling, is winning, period. But also, like, I mean, look, the Tomasino move was right. What was that said to be? That's a development move,
yeah,
so that he's ready. When he comes in, he's ready to, like, you are now a top six forward. We'll see if it works out that way or not.
It's clear they believe in that. Like, it's clear that they believe in, all right, if we don't think you're ready to play in a top six role here now, go down there and get ready. And by the time we call you up, you're ready to go.
But then you get to, so, like, Glass and Tolvin are, like, a year ahead of that or yep, whatever. So now you get to, with them, it's, like, in the lineup, out of the lineup. And look, hey, I mean, I have no problem with a meritocracy where it's performance-based and sure, that's what it is. But you do wonder, confidence-wise, what that means for them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's – well, even Tolvanen, like, right now, when he's in there, he's still getting power play time. So he's on the power play last night, and right now he's on the fourth line with Sissons and Smith. You know, I hear – Tolvanen's the interesting one to me from this standpoint, because I hear so many people yelling about, you know, lack of opportunity for him, and what do you really expect him to do offensively if he's going to play on the fourth line. And I understand that. And then I watched him play last night, and some of the passes were just off. He's shooting the puck and missing the net. I'm just like, well, at some point, you got to take charge of wherever you're at, whether it's the power play, the fourth line. Like, you got to take charge and make it happen for yourself. And that's the part of Tolvanen that nobody ever talks about. Like, he's not making it happen. So he's been in a top six role. He wasn't productive. Am I saying that he deserves to be a healthy scratch? No. Like, I think he's one of their best 18 skaters. But, like, acting like it's the crime of the century every time he's not in the lineup makes no sense to me. He's had plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, not at this point, no. I mean, like, last year – well, honestly, like, go to a year ago, I was really surprised he wasn't on power play one after he had played in that stretch where he looked so lethal the year before, right? But, I mean, he had – ample opportunity. Other than that, he was on power play too. He had ample opportunity last year and just didn't nearly do enough with it. And if his one skill that elevates him above a lot of players is not showing itself, then okay, you know, at some point you got to move on. It's interesting because I do feel like at times, even this year, there's been bursts where you see it. But are you going to get more than bursts from him at any point?
It's a great question, and even though they've won two games in a row, you got to feel good about it. I think they've fixed some things defensively in the last two games that were obviously a pretty big point of emphasis coming off of the road trip. All that's really good. I still watched him play. Like, I'm watching him play last night, and I'm like, I know that there's another gear or two with some of these guys and their team as a whole, and they're just not finding it right now. So why is that? And, you know, Duchesne talked about kind of building your game, and they're at a slow build of it right now, and at times it's frustrating. It's like, okay, I get that. Like, but we're almost at American Thanksgiving, and we talk about that every year of, oh, boy, it's American Thanksgiving. And
where are you?
The playoff standings start to mean something once you get there. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. But I bring all that up to say, like, I still don't think the Predators are, like, all that close to their top level right now. And at what point of not being that close to your top level do you look at the team and maybe reevaluate what the top level is?
Right. Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, and this is – we're saying this after two straight wins.
Right.
But it's like with McDonough. You have the high expectations, and then it's not pretty with some of the mistakes and, you know, the combination with him and Ekholm, all that stuff early, and then you're like, okay, what's going on? And so you lower the expectations. Now, like last night, it was like, okay, that looks more like – what you thought Ryan McDonough was going to be, right? I guess I probably have lowered the bar even as early as it is this season for what I expect from this team. But you're right. There's still so many guys who, if this guy, this guy, this guy get closer to really how some of them played last year, what does that mean? It should be a pretty good team still on paper.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good that you're winning games now. I mean, you've dug yourself a little bit of a hole to begin things, and last night's important too. You win it in regulation against a divisional opponent, so you've made up ground on Minnesota. And everybody's kind of jumbled together right now. It's early enough in the season where nobody's really that far out ahead or that far behind. So I'm not saying the Predators are in like a terrible spot right now. I just with watching them play, I think they would be the first ones to tell you there's another level or two that they need to get at. And you've put parts of your game together. It's good that you've started to defend a little bit better. The most important development to me the last couple of games is Saros looks good. So if Saros is going to continue to look good, you're going to have a chance to win every night. But now can you put a consistent string of complete games together? Nobody expects you to put those strings together every night in an 82-game season. But I feel like they really haven't had a stretch yet so far this year where it's like, man, they've been really good for like four games in a row. And that should not be too much to ask for this team, this group in the NHL. That doesn't always mean you're going to win, but just the way that you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, well, in an 82-game season, unless you're extreme, even if you're extremely good, you know, you have some bad stretches.
For sure.
But, I mean, everybody should have some good stretches, you know. And the thing is, that's where it's so important. I mean, this homestand is so important because at some point you get to the negativity. The negativity was already getting to a pretty high level with the Preds, you know. And so then it makes it harder to get into the – whether these guys admit it or not, they know what people say.
Now, Andrew on the text line says, it would be nice to hear about what our 6-3 Titans need to do to win Thursday night instead of the crappy 7-8-1 Preds.
Wow.
We haven't talked about the Titans yet today on the show.
Yeah, I know. We've only spent basically the whole show on the Titans.
Just throwing down.
Just because someone's going to be mad.
Always mad. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans coming up next. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll revisit the college football playoff rankings from last night as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Titans on Thursday. Anytime a team is coached by Vrabel, you actually said it earlier in the year when we were mocking overreaction, and I said, the Titans are dead, and that got clipped, me saying that, and then you cut a promo. Is Vrabel still the football coach of the Titans yet? Then they're not dead or whatever. I got buried from it, but, you know, nonetheless, you cut a promo for Vrabel. Their defense is always going to be sound. Their defense is always going to be solid. Their team has the identity of Vrabel, which is just, you know, super tough Ohio. Not as tough as Luke Fickle, what I'm learning, the head coach of Cincinnati, but super tough Ohio guy. What are you looking forward to preparing against here on Thursday night, and what did you learn about the Packers' offense, on your offense on Sunday, that maybe you can carry on for the rest of the year?
We have the potential to score 30 points in a game. That's what we learned.
Hell yeah.
We finally got 30. Real good defense. They're leading in third down percentage. They got like 29 sacks on defense. They got a bunch of takeaways. They're top 10 in red zone defense. They got studs at every level, the front line, the linebackers, the back end. Play really well together. Good scheme. Mike's a great coach. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. I always appreciate our conversations that we have throughout the year. You know, I always enjoy talking to him, you know, about ball or about ripping heaters or whatever it might be. But I always have a ton of respect for Mike, and his teams are always ready to play. And so we're expecting the tough four-quarter game. And, you know, we like our chances. We're rolling with as much momentum as we can after one win, and hopefully we've exercised some of those energetic demons, and we can follow up Sunday with another good performance Thursday.
That was Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Apparently he likes talking to Vrabel about football and ripping some heaters, according to A-Rod.
So talk about smoking them if you got them?
I guess so.
It's like, oh, flavor. Let's talk about flavor country. Do you like the taste of a nice Pall Mall? Or how about like a basic light 100? Are you more of a menthol guy?
I didn't expect that conversation to go that way yesterday.
I mean, if I could get some video of Vrabel, you know, smoking a cigarette.
Oh, man.
God. I mean, he loves his chewing tobacco. I'm sure he's ripped a few heaters. As someone who's also ripped a few heaters, sometimes that delicious, delicious flavor. The kids are all in school now, right? Yeah. That delicious flavor is just, just
but it is bad
body.
For you.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
We have to mention, Joe, don't.
Yes, don't do it. I quit long ago. Now, the University of Michigan Daily, you know, flag football team.
It's a little different.
Knows well the pain of having a quarterback score a touchdown on them while smoking a cigarette, but I digress.
I'm just trying to imagine.
Ripping heaters, baby.
The conversation in my head between Vrabel and Rodgers of, yeah, you know, that's a nice cover three scheme you've got there, but what about that cigarette you had the other day? Yeah, how was that? He said,
would you like to roll a cigarette?
I will say, going back to our conversation in the offseason, he talked about, you know, he enjoys talking to Vrabel and the conversations they have throughout the year. What does that mean, throughout the year? They talk a lot? How close was Aaron Rodgers to maybe joining the Titans last year?
Maybe if they would have sent him a couple carton of Camel Lights, he might have gotten him here, huh? Hey, Mike, you like cigarettes? I can roll one for you. I got my own special tobacco.
Yeah. Got my
you want to try some of that?
Ayahuasca.
Growing some plants in the backyard down in Franklin of my new property down there.
Vrabel's hallucinating on the sideline Thursday night.
Good stuff there from Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. I got to say, the more I look at this matchup, like I really like the Titans' defense and their chances in this matchup. I think they are well-equipped, especially if you get Jeffrey Simmons back in there to do a good job against the run. Good to see David Long Jr. back out as a full participant yesterday. But, you know, I know most people don't think of this when they think of Aaron Rodgers leading the offense, but really this year their offense begins with the running game, with A.J. Dillon and with Aaron Jones. And I think the Titans are well-equipped to slow that down. Really, the question I have about this game for the Packers from an offensive standpoint is, number one, can you run the ball with any sort of success? Like, you're not going to run for 200 yards against this Titans defense. Let's just call it what it is. You're not going to run for 200 yards. Can you run with any sort of sustained success where that's you can keep moving the ball that way? That's number one. And number two, was last week the coming out party for Christian Watson, or was it just kind of a blip on the radar and he's back to what he's been all year, which is very inconsistent? I mean, heck, even the game Sunday, he catches the three touchdown passes. He had two drops before that. He dropped two balls and then caught three touchdowns after that. So he's really right now the one weapon they have at pass catcher. We'll see if Randall Cobb comes back this week. You know, he's not what he used to be, but he can make some plays in the slot. And then when it's a big down, they'll go to Alan Lazard. But Watson's kind of the big play threat right now. And if he's not on top of his game, I just don't know how dangerous the passing attack's really going to be for the Packers, even if Aaron Rodgers is the one throwing the football.
You know, if you're the Titans, is it better that you saw what Christian Watson can do? Like, the Cowboys probably feel a little bit like, oh, where the hell did that come from, right? This rookie just torched us. Is it better for the Titans to have seen that? And now it's on your radar? But see, it's also, if you're the Packers, though, it's like, okay, now here's someone you have to think about as you're as you're thinking about us, and we still just mostly want to run the ball.
Right. Well, the thing that about Watson that I'm interested to see how the Titans handle it, he's got a ton of speed. He's huge, and he can run. I mean, he's got elite speed. So can you keep up with him? Like, can you get to the point where you don't let him beat you deep? I mean, I will say he's had some pretty good success this year winning the route and getting deep. It's trouble catching the football when he's done it.
Oh,
but he's had some success getting behind the defense. Can you prevent that if you're the Titans? Because, you know, it's going to be 22, 21, 20 degrees. The wind's going to be blowing. It's not going to be great conditions to throw the football in at Lambeau Field. Obviously, Rodgers has a ton of experience doing so at Lambeau, but I still think, like, if you're the Titans and you could slow down the running game, you're going to have a great chance to win this game. You really are.
No, I absolutely agree. It's a big key. It's and if you have Simmons, if you have Long, then you have a better chance of doing that. And to me, if the Packers are, let's say, under as a team. I mean, maybe like under 120, right around 100, you know, low 100s, sub 100, I like the Titans' chances a lot in this game. But, you know, it's still like that doesn't mean you could still do that and Aaron Rodgers could still hit you on a couple big shots, and that's enough, because how many points are the Titans going to score on the Packers tomorrow night?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it has – first off, I think Thursday night games, typically speaking anyway, usually have the makings of a lower scoring game just based on – I mean, it's a tough turnaround.
Ugly game one way or the other.
I mean, it's a tough turnaround going from Sunday to Thursday regardless of the situation. The one thing I will say about this matchup is unless the Packers do something that they've not really done well all year long, which is stop the run, like I think the Titans have a chance to have some offensive success. Like the Packers on paper have a really good defense. They're horrible at stopping the run. And I know that it's different. Like when you're psychologically, I mean, you could tell yourself you need to stop the run all week long, every week. But when it's Derrick Henry you're going up against, a little bit different. Like there's obviously a different, you know, focus put on that. So does that change the way the Packers play run defense wise? I don't know, maybe, but based on what I've seen so far this year, like I think the Titans are going to be able to run the ball pretty well against the Packers.
Yeah, it's I thought they would run it a lot better than they did against the Broncos. Yep. And they didn't. So I mean, I hear what you're saying. It is just like how many weeks, and it doesn't matter some weeks. It doesn't matter a lot of weeks, obviously with Derrick Henry, but how many weeks do the Packers, or do they in the defensive meetings basically talk? It's all that matters.
Not very many.
This is all that matters. This guy right here, 22, right? Now maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that doesn't matter to them. It won't help them, you know. But it's such a focal point for everybody. Like this is why the Titans have to be able to have some level of balance and. We're probably not going to see Ryan Tannehill rip off a 60-yard TD run like he did 2 years ago.
Probably not.
Like the only highlight of the whole night for the Titans, I think, in that game. But the passing game is still – like you got to have that balance. You got to be able to keep them off balance. And Todd Downing's got to be able to do what Todd Downing does, which is up for interpretation.
And by the way, when we talked yesterday about Randy Bullock and his status for the game, the Titans did make a move yesterday, and Josh Lambeau. Looks like he might be the kicker for the Titans coming up tomorrow night in Lambeau.
Yes. A great name move there to get Lambeau in Lambeau. But
you think that was intentional?
I mean, sure. I don't know. I mean, they've tried every other kicker in the world since 2019. So maybe it was just he was the last kicker in the world that they haven't hired.
They didn't give Goskowski a call back. Hey, man, what have you been doing?
Goskowski and Kern are
out there golfing.
Kern and Goskowski are out there enjoying 36 today.
Great day for it.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also get into the college football playoff rankings that came out last night and what that could mean for Tennessee as they move forward. All that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And speaking of this Thursday night matchup, Packers are favored by 3 points in Lambeau, but listen, I'm taking the Tennessee Titans plus the 3. I'm also going to take them on the money line. And listen, you can parlay a couple other games because everything's happening right now. We got football, basketball, hockey. You want to do a little Vandy basketball, Belmont basketball. You can combine them all to make a parlay. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, wager on the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it is busy to get time winning some money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit Superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call
1-800-889-9789. Come on out to the grand opening of the new Dunkin' location in Mount Juliet this Friday morning. Enjoy free stuff. Plus, while you're there, register to win Predators tickets. That's the new Dunkin' location at 2234 North Mount Juliet Road coming up on this Friday morning. Who knows? You might even see Hal Gill out there. Speaking of Friday, make sure you join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. Joe Rexroad is fired up from Nolensville. That march continues on Friday. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Also, the college football game of the week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday as MTSU takes on Florida Atlantic at 2:30. College football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
Rematch with Paige. Oh, man. Nervous. Oh, boy. Nervous.
It's going to be a big one.
It's a biggie.
Well, you get to this point of the playoffs, they're all biggies.
They are, but I don't like the revenge factor being part of the.
Oh yeah, it's
part
a thing.
Of the thing. But that's how it goes, man.
Joe, the college football playoff rankings out last night, the latest edition. No real big surprises last night. The top five remaining the same: Georgia at 1, Ohio State at 2, Michigan at 3, TCU at 4, and Tennessee at number 5. LSU moves up to number 6 with Oregon losing. USC's at 7, and some people are mad about Alabama at 8 over Clemson at 9-1 at number 9, but I'm not.
So. I'm not either. I am mad about. Dan Wolken.
Okay.
Let me call out Dan Wolken on this. Okay, because we're having all these hypothetical arguments about team versus team. And by the way, I don't know if you saw that. You know, I sent out a nice picture to all Twitter of Dan at the. At the Georgia game.
Oh, I saw.
Oh, yeah, baby. But then later I saw Pat. I didn't know Pat Forty was there, and I was like, oh, my God, I could have got you both together. But anyway, so Wolken's big on Michigan, which is fine. I mean, I agree that Michigan's very good. We talked earlier. I mean, I think if you had an ideal top four, it'd be a Big Ten SEC challenge. Michigan, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, let's go. Good times. Good times for all. But, you know, Peter Burns had a tweet about, you know, how Michigan paid to cancel the home and home with UCLA in 2019, replaced them with Hawaii, and as Peter Burns pointed out, this could be a disastrous decision when it comes to committee looking at strength of schedule if they lose to Ohio State. So this is Wolken. Counterpoint: Michigan hasn't come close to losing this season. If they're 11-1 with a field goal loss on the road to the number 2 team, why would a scheduling decision made 3 years ago be the difference in determining whether they're among the 4 best? It's not about the scheduling decision, Dan. It's just about your resume. I mean, it's not about it's not about assigning blame or punishing. It is simply, who did you beat? That's it.
Right.
It's strength of record. And right now, if you want to do the Tennessee-Michigan comparison, strength of record for Tennessee, I believe, is 3rd. And I know strength of schedule for Michigan is like 80-something, and Tennessee is like 6. I'm in the range right there. I don't have it in front of me. But it's a huge difference. It's not going to be made up. I mean, going to Ohio State helps. And again, I think Michigan's good enough, but if it comes down to that comparison, which means TCU won out, and it probably means, well, I guess TCU wins out and USC wins out, and both of them could have problems, you know, possibly. But if it's a 4th team, and it's between Michigan and Tennessee handles business last 2 weeks and looks like one of the top 4 teams, as it has all year, then it should be Tennessee.
Well, and if you're Tennessee, I mean, you're hoping for a couple of different things. I mean, my main takeaway from the college football playoff rankings for Tennessee's standpoint is I still think they're in good shape. Like, you're at number 5 right now. You know, TCU, we talked about this yesterday, they're at 10-0, and everybody keeps expecting them to lose at some point. Well, they're running out of games to lose. They got 3 games left. They've got the 2 in the regular season, and then the Big 12 championship. Maybe they do slip up there. Obviously, you're rooting for that to happen at some point if you're Tennessee. And the other part of this is USC. They've got UCLA this weekend, Notre Dame the weekend after that, and then what would be the Pac-12 championship after that. You need them to lose once. They lose one time, you're in good shape. I mean, Pac-12's done at that point if they lose one time.
Done.
So
nobody else.
You're rooting for USC to lose. You're rooting for TCU to lose. And, Joe, honestly, if those two things happen, like, I think Tennessee's going to be in. I mean, we could talk about LSU. I said this earlier, and some people may think it's a hot take. I don't. Like, I think there's a better chance of Texas A&M beating LSU than there is LSU beating Georgia. Like, that's how I feel. I don't think either one's going to happen, but I would be less surprised by Texas A&M beating LSU than I would be by LSU beating Georgia. That's just how I feel. So, you know, they were having the discussion last night. I've seen some clips this morning of you know, Reese Davis and David Pollock getting in an argument about Tennessee and LSU and all that stuff, and all that's fine. We can have that discussion. I still think when in the realistic picture of it right now, if you're a Tennessee fan, I think you should be feeling pretty good today about where you're sitting.
Yeah, pretty good, understanding that there is some help needed, but there's a lot of different ways you could get help. You don't need all of them to come through. Because I still just have a feeling TCU's the Big 12 title game is just an absolute, like, the history of that thing is so many locks to get into the BCS title game or the playoff, you know, falling short in that game. And I think Kansas State could be a real problem for TCU. They should have beat them the first time. I'll be really impressed if USC wins out. I don't think they will. In fact, I kind of feel like UCLA is going to get them this week. UCLA can run like crazy, and that defense is bad.
They might. I mean, that's what you're rooting for if you're a Tennessee fan. The bottom line is, if you're Tennessee, you're rooting for TCU to lose, USC to lose, and personally, I think you're rooting for Ohio State
to crush
Michigan. Just to crush them.
No doubt. You are rooting for Ohio State to win the game for sure, and ideally, comfortably. Which, I mean, I have my doubts that'll happen. You talk about, I agree with you on LSU and USC not winning out. I will not be surprised if Michigan goes in and wins that game at Ohio State, because the way they run the football, it's hard to know with those teams, because they just I understand that Penn State, it gives them a good good win for both of them, but Penn State's not very good. They're not very good. So I don't know how good Michigan and Ohio State are. I do know that Ohio State is loaded with talent and has possibly the number one pick at quarterback. We don't know much about Michigan's quarterback. He hasn't had to do much this year. They run the ball so well. They have a good defense. But regardless, that game I'm fascinated by, because I could totally see Michigan winning. If that happens and Tennessee gets into a comparison game with Ohio State, and let's say Notre Dame beats USC, see, that could be problematic.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at the line on FanDuel. They've got the Michigan-Ohio State line already up. Ohio State's favored by 6.5 in that game at home.
6.5.
Yep. 6.5 in that game. Going back to my LSU's more likely to lose to Texas A&M than they are to beat Georgia, it appears Vegas agrees. LSU's an 8.5-point favorite at A&M, and Georgia right now in the SEC title game a 16.5-point favorite.
They already have a Georgia-LSU line?
They do.
16.5. Dang. Well, you and Vegas are aligned. And you and Reese Davis are aligned too. David Pollack. Arguing hard for LSU.
Yeah, I feel like Reese Davis has had a change of heart on this. Wasn't he the one screaming for LSU last week?
No, but what he was saying was that it's a discussion, which you got mad about. But it is a discussion. But he ultimately, it's like the same thing as me. It's like, I think it's a fascinating scenario if it were to happen, because the championship and the win over Georgia. But I'm with him. Ultimately, you do have the head-to-head, and it's very convincing in their place.
I said this earlier, Tennessee also needs to be rooting for Florida in the next couple of games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I don't know that it ultimately is the main difference maker, but if you could get another top 25 team into the mix, Florida's right on the edge right now. If they beat Vanderbilt on Saturday, and especially if they beat Florida State the week after that, they're going to be ranked. So that gives you another top 25 win. You got Alabama on top of that, LSU on top of that. All of a sudden you're sitting pretty with three good wins if you're Tennessee there.
Clark Lee says, not so fast, my friend.
He does.
Also, Shane Beamer is going to get his guys right. He's going to be out there on that sideline. I mean, we haven't even entertained the idea that Tennessee could be in any kind of a game Saturday at South Carolina. Are you confident that they will not be in any kind of a game Saturday night at South Carolina?
Did you see South Carolina on Saturday?
Oh, I believe you. I know. I mean, I think Tennessee will mop the field with them. I think. It is on the night. It is on the night. It is on the night of Saturday.
It is. I think
the month of November. It is on the road at night.
Well, I think a couple of things. I think Tennessee will be able to run the ball pretty well against South Carolina, which when they can run the ball, they're hard to deal with. I think they'll put up a number against that. I mean, the one reservation I guess you have is, what if Rattler gets hot and they start rolling off?
And they get a lead, you know, kind of get that momentum early.
But I still don't think they've got enough around him to do much. You know, we saw, Brady Kick run around last week all over the place. Can Rattler use the wheels a little bit? I don't know. We'll see. But, I think Tennessee could put up
70 points in that game if they wanted to.
All right. Yeah, your confidence is very obvious right now.
I mean, do you disagree?
No. Well, no. I
was like, I actually agree with you, but.
I mean, I always have hesitation just when you get to the pressure. But I said that before Kentucky, and they win 44-6.
Yeah, and
Kentucky. Sorry, I keep bringing up Kentucky losses all day.
Georgia this week.
Oh yeah, that'll be a doozy. I thought that the pressure might get to them. The pressure does get to teams this
sure.
time of year, and it is at night. It is on the road. There is a talented quarterback on the other side. So could they get into a bit of a shootout for? I mean, Missouri was with them, by the way, in the third quarter.
They were.
So I could see that happening. But ultimately, yes, I feel like you should be confident.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase Willie and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.